This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thank you for listening. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group. Very simple message for me to convey about my longtime supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. Brandon Legal Group is a full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Full service means many things. If you have a need for family law, that's one of them. If you have a need for divorce, that's another one of them. Full service law firm. And they service the greater Tampa Bay area. Call anytime for a free consult, 844-4BLG4ME, or visit their website. Click on the box that says request a free consultation, BrandonLegalGroup.com. I thank them for their continued support of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. And the Bucks Bulletin will be returning again this season, separate podcast from the Todd Wright Toddcast. It was an idea hatched from a meeting I had with Brandon Legal Group to do a fantasy exclusive preview every week of just the Buccaneers game against that week's opponent. And it's proven to be a very popular thing. So it will return in just a few weeks, a little over, 30 days to go. Brandon Legal Group, your full service law firm. Speaking of other podcasts, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Season 6, presented by Hooters, has returned. We're already 2 weeks in. We're already 7 or 8 episodes in. And via that podcast, which you can find separate from this one, I am soliciting players for podcast leagues. Our leagues had grown every year until last year. We obviously faced some challenges, so we just condensed to one league that drafted on the showroom floor at Bill Curry Ford. And Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford, was generous enough that night to tell me to announce the winner of the league would receive $1,000 from Bill Curry Ford. So we're putting together leagues as we speak. Please listen to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast for more details on that. And we are looking for as many people who want to participate before I announce how many leagues there will be and the logistics of, we know we'll be drafting at Bill Curry Ford on one particular night. So send me an email if you have interest in playing in a Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League. Fantasy football experience is not necessarily required. I'm not going to put someone in the league who doesn't have the right background, the right enthusiasm, the right interest in the game. So there have to be some factors there. But I'm more than happy to have some people who don't have tangible fantasy experience but who want to get involved in a fantasy league to play in a Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League. The email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. On this edition of the Toddcast, I just wanted to get in my comments about Texas and Oklahoma joining the Southeastern Conference. And I'm with many that expect this will happen sooner rather than later. We won't get it for this coming college football season, but I don't think Texas and OU are going to play out the next 4 years under the current deal with the big XII. By waiting, they wait to see if the league dissolves, and then they might not owe anything to actually leave. That's one of the better things I've heard in the last week or so. But it will happen sooner rather than later. My friend Andrew DeWitt, who now works for The Athletic, I want to courtesy The Athletic on something. A few days ago, The Athletic reported that the SEC, which currently has everybody plays eight games in conference. I think it goes like this. So the divisions are 7 each currently, East and West. You play everybody in your division, so that's 6. Then you have one crossover game you play every year, I believe. Every East team has a West team they play every year. maintaining old rivalries. And then you play that other team in the West, which would be, you know, once every 6 years. I guess that's the way that goes. So The Athletic reported that the SEC, once Texas and OU join, would consider going to a 9-game conference schedule. And this is in line with something that I talked about with a very good friend of mine who's an SEC fan and a former Florida Gator season ticket holder. And we started looking at how would the SEC format everything once Texas and Oklahoma join. I'm not going to take the next step. You know, I heard around this also that the SEC would go after Michigan and Ohio State and Clemson and Florida State. Let's just take it for Texas OU at this point, and the SEC being a 16-team conference sooner rather than later, perhaps as early as 2022. I'm pretty sure they'll get this done by 2023 at the latest. It's not going to wait until 2025. You already have in Missouri a team geographically displaced that is playing in the East when clearly they are one of the Western franchises. Well, in essence, they are. Freudian slip. Yeah, I know the Dallas Cowboys are still in the NFC East of the NFL divisions, but Missouri's kind of in an odd spot there. Now what you're doing is you're adding two more teams out West, and you're not going to split up Texas and OU. No chance. So wherever they go together, and this SEC deal is further proof of that. They know it's good for business. So one of the things that I think the SEC might be considering, rather than going to 2 8-team divisions, which in theory, if they do it, and at that point, I think Alabama and Auburn have to shift to the East. It's kind of the only way this works, because you're adding OU and Texas. So if they go 8-8 and they just shift Auburn and Alabama to the East with Florida and Georgia and Tennessee and South Carolina, etc. So Texas and Oklahoma can take their spots in the West. That's how that would work, right? Because you're increasing, you got two in, two out. Yeah. So I guess that's, Well, you're adding two to the East. Maybe in that scenario, you can put Missouri back. I don't know, but you know where I'm going with this. So if they go 8-8, 8 in the East, 8 in the West, and they're considering a 9-game conference schedule, then you would play everybody in your division, obviously. That's 7. And then you could still do the one annual game against someone from the other division, whatever that might be that makes the most sense. It would still maintain those rivalries. And then you'd play the remaining 7 teams in the other division, I guess you'd play them once every 7 years, unless you face them in the SEC title game. All right. I have another idea. Indulge me on this. As the SEC continues to grow and the NCAA will have less say over what is done in major college football, instead of going to 2 8-team divisions, could the SEC go to 4 4-team divisions? And hear me out on this. You would keep together in the 4 divisions. I'm not even going to assign geographic names to them. Just basically A, B, C, and D at this point. You have clearly a top 8 programs in the SEC at this point. So let's say in Division A, all right, let's go with the newbies. You keep OU and Texas together, and they're your two anchors of Division A. All right, so set that aside. Then in Division B, we'll anchor that with Alabama and Auburn. Keeping them together makes a lot of sense. Then in Division C, you keep Florida and Georgia together. I think they also earn that status. And for Division D, where I see two teams that can anchor that are geographically it's sensible, I think LSU Texas A&M makes sense if you're going to put two together with more cachet than, you know, say Mississippi and Mississippi State. I know that's an obvious one, but I think LSU and Texas A&M makes more sense. Then, so if you've got a Division A with OU and Texas, a Division B with Auburn and Alabama, a Division C with Florida and Georgia, and a Division D with LSU and A&M, then, and I've done this, you can sort of figure out based on what the traditional divisions have been and other geographic factors, who else goes in those respective divisions. You can sort of figure it out. It you know, makes some sense. But the top two in each division to me makes some sense. All right. So then how would you play out a schedule? All right. I even thought before the athletic report, the SEC would go to 9. So in my four division format, let's take it from, well, I don't even need to. So Division A is Texas and OU. And I think in my model, I went Texas, OU, Arkansas, Missouri. I think that's the way I finished out that division. So let's just roll with it. So Texas would play every team in their division. So that's 3 games. Then you play every team in another division for that particular year. That's 7 games. And then the other two, do it however you want. You know, you could kind of use the NFL schedule model where, let's say, Texas finishes a year as the second place team to Oklahoma. All right. Of the divisions, they're not scheduled to play everybody. They play the second place team from those. That's sort of the NFL way. Now, the SEC way has said, well, eventually we want everybody to play everybody. So they could do that in a rotation. You know, you play these two in 2023 and these two in 2024 and these two in 2025 and these two in 2026. And you could even maintain that a little bit of that SEC East and West, that division where you cross over and play everybody there. They're kind of your partner division. And you rotate 2 games through everybody else. So then, if you've been with me to this point, and thank you for indulging me, this is where I get real creative, and I'm just giving the SEC the benefit of the doubt that they're going to use all their cards, and as a power broker in college football, and who's going to stop them? So you would have a winner. You would obviously have a 4 division winners. You'd have a division winner of A, B, C, and D. Do we put past the SEC doing their own 4-team playoff and just adding another layer before their championship game? Who's going to stop them from doing that? So you could seed it 1 through 4, just like we have the current college football playoff. Or let's say in my format where, let's say Texas, well, in my format, Oklahoma wins Division A. And you would have, I guess you would partner up the D division, would make more geographical sense with LSU and Texas A&M. So let's say LSU wins that division. Whoever won their game in the regular season, if that's your partner division, they host that battle of division winners for the right to go to Atlanta. So you win your way to Atlanta in a semifinal game, and then Atlanta maintains an SEC championship game. Now, out of all this, with where we are headed with a college football playoff, you know all four division winners are going to make the playoff because you're adding Texas and OU. And if you're going to 12 or 16, whatever it's going to be, winning your division is pretty much going to guarantee you a spot in the college football playoff, in whatever form we have with a college football playoff. So those are just some of my creative ideas on what the SEC might be able to do in breaking down the divisions even further from an 8-8 and just, you know, adding Texas and OU to their current format. Winners of the divisions go on to Atlanta. They could break it down by fours, keep some pairs together that make sense, play that 9-game schedule, and even create an SEC semifinal week that would not be on a neutral field, and you'd obviously have built-in attendance by playing those semifinal games at home with the winner going on to Atlanta, with the likelihood that winning a division in the SEC is going to mean you're in the expanded college football playoff anyway. Send me your thoughts on a 16-team SEC and what it might look like, what the schedule might look like. Am I out of my mind thinking the SEC could go four divisions, two semifinal games at campus sites to produce that one SEC title game, and all four division winners get in the college football playoff anyway? Send me your thoughts. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Thank you so much for listening to the Todd Wright Toddcast. We'll talk to you next time.